Oh, lovely. Can you hear me now? Brilliant. So, if you turn to Church Bible, it will be on page 1074. So, John chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 1 to 15 and then 25 to 40. So, John 6. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes, then seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was as much grass in that place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, they told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And now we'll move on to verse 25 to 40. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So this is today's reading. So I can see some children here. So if you're listening, can you tell me what Jesus is saying here? You know. Potato. That Jesus is the bread of life. Good job. Okay. So what Jesus says is that he is the bread of life, that in him is eternal life and everlasting satisfaction. So let me pray before we start. Father God, we pray that you will be with us today on this boat, that as we listen to your word and read your word, the Spirit will speak to us today. You know the deepest need of our soul. So Lord, help us today to receive this bread of life with open hands and fill us so that we can have life forever. In your name we pray. Amen. So shall we just dive right into the passage? Yeah? Good. So, Jesus saying that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him and believes in him will have eternal life. Now, we have to ask this question. What makes the bread of life? What makes it like a bread that will give life, a life-giving bread? The answer is rather simple, isn't it? Jesus is the life-giving bread because he's literally giving up his life for us. The body, the bread is his body. So let's turn to our Bible and read verse 32 together. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So if you look in the story, what was the crowd trying to argue? So if you remember the first bit that we read, that Jesus was feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the crowd has just been fed by Jesus. But they are saying to Jesus, yes, this is quite impressive, you know, but it's not quite enough for me. You know, back in my days when my father was still alive, when Moses was still leading, when we were in the wilderness, that bread rained down from heaven. Do you think you can do that? And Jesus says to them, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you this bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So I'm going to test your grammar. So if you look at this verse, what tense is Jesus using when he talks about Moses? Past tense, right? And what tense is he using when he talks about the Father? Present tense, yes. So Jesus is saying to the crowd that, you idiot, you keep asking for this bread from God, but can't you realize that the true bread of God, the bread of eternal life, is literally standing right before you. I am the bread of God. I am the bread of life, you see? And now, friends, this is the gospel. And if you have to sum up the gospel into one sentence and share it to your friend, I will pick this verse, 32. That Jesus is the bread of God who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Whoever comes to him will have eternal life. And why? Because this is the greatest demonstration of his love for us. Can someone tell me what the bread is? It is body, right? So if we jump ahead and read verse 51, Jesus says that, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The bread is his body. And why does the Son of God need a body, need a human body? So that he can die for us. And what does his death achieve? The forgiveness of sins. That everyone who comes to him and believes in him and take this bread, the sins will be forgiven by this bread. And whoever comes to him will have eternal life in him. So Jesus, who was sitting on the throne in heaven, the highest of highest, comes all the way down to the lowest of lowest to become the bread for us. And this is how far he's willing to go for you and I today. And this is why he says, I come down not to be served, but to be a servant of all. And I want you to keep this in mind. Jesus does not turn himself into caviar or beef Wellington. He turns himself into bread. So this is not something just for the educated, the ones in power, or the middle class, or the upper class. It's for us all, because everyone shall live by the bread. And it comes down to give life to the world, both to the strong and to the weak, to the poor and to the rich. Okay? And you may say, what if I'm gluten-free? Well, gluten-free wasn't an option back in the days. Right? And the second point I would like to say is that whoever feeds on Jesus will not only have eternal life, by saying that you will also have everlasting satisfaction. In verse 35, Jesus is not only saying that he is the bread of life, but he's saying that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in him will never be thirsty again. So in other words, he is the true bread for our true need. And just like Jesus is not talking about the physical bread, but he's talking about his life, his death, and his resurrection. He's also not talking about our physical hunger, but the hunger of our soul. And in order to understand the true gift of this bread, we must understand our true need, right? And what I just taught was the gospel. But now I'm going to talk to you what the gospel is not. And I'm saying this especially to you who've called yourself a Christian today. This is what the gospel is not. The gospel, believing in Jesus, doesn't mean that you get what you want. Jesus never promises that. What he promises is the eternal life with him and in him. That as you take this bread and share with his death, you will also share with his resurrection and this new life. Okay? He's offering to fulfill the deepest need of your soul, but not every single desire of your heart. And this is what the crowd got wrong. If we read verse 26, Jesus says that you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. What Jesus is saying that they're looking for him, not because they know that Jesus has the power to give them the eternal life, but because their stomach is filled with bread and pleasure. And if we remember earlier in the chapter, in verse 14, we read that the Jews were trying to make Jesus king by force. Why are they trying to do that? Because they are thinking, okay, this guy can multiply fish and bread. So let's make him king so that we can do whatever we want. so that we can regain our political power, so we can regain our land, so we don't have to listen to the Romans anymore. And do you see what they got wrong here? They know what they want, but they don't know what they need. So what is our true need? Our true need is to be made right with God. That our relationship with God is broken and needs restoring. What death means is that we are eternally separated from God. And vice versa, what eternal life means is that we will be with God forever. It does not just mean that we will live forever. That's not the key point here. The key point is that we'll live with Jesus forever. And that's our greatest need. And this is why Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Whoever eats this bread of God will be in heaven with God forever because of this bread. And now I'm going to jump ahead and talk about application. We also want us to spend more time on knowing how that we can apply this passage to our life. And this is my first point, right? My first advice is to those who think they're doing well in life, especially those who think they are mature in faith. The danger is we often mix up the prosperity in our life with the maturity of our faith. And let me explain why. Remember what Jesus said to the crowd when they were looking for him. He's saying that you're looking for me, not because you see the sign, but because your stomach is filled. And here's the question we all need to ask ourselves today. Does our satisfaction come from our stomach or from God? And do you know when is the easiest time that we forget God? When everything is just fine. That we have a decent job, a decent place, a decent family, or perhaps a decent dog. Everything is just decent. But what's absent? God. God is absent. And don't get me wrong, these are wonderful things to have and enjoy. If God has given you these things, praise him for that and enjoy them. But Jesus also warns us about our complacency of our faith. He tells us not to work for good, not to work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life. Because he's actually not talking about work, but our heart. Because we work for what our heart desires. So before coming to Bible college, I was a personal trainer. And I always tell my clients that you are what you eat. And if you want to build muscles, you better be eating protein. And the same thing is for us all, Christians, that we are what we eat. If today, if you want to be a godly man or a godly woman, you better be eating from the bread of God, right? Because to be godly, is to be in Christ, if that makes sense. And I want you to think that the things that you enjoy in life as desserts are great, aren't they? Yeah? Okay, great. If you have that moderation. They're nice little treats from time to time. In fact, like a lot of things in life. Like sitting down under the sun to read your favorite book. Or to have like an eight Benedict that you know, in the morning. They're all blessings from God. And they're gifts from God for us to enjoy. But desserts are not essential to life. I mean, if you're parents, I bet you say this to your kids every day. But the bread is essential to our life. And I know what you're thinking, but the bread is quite boring, isn't it? When you go to a buffet, the first plate you have is normally the best. But when you get down to your fifth plate, even the best ribeye in the world will taste like rubber to you. You feel me? You can relate to that? Yeah? But there's something special about this bread. The more you have it, the more you want it. And the more you chew on this bread, the more you sound like the person in Psalm 73. Who else do I have but you, Lord? There's nothing on earth I desire apart from you. Or like the person in Psalm 47. Lord, what I want to do is to sit in your house and just look at you all my day. So I feel like the Spirit is saying something to you today. I want you to go back and ask yourself this question. Is my satisfaction from God? And how do we know that? Well, you can ask yourself. Is there a thing in life that I enjoy so much that I refuse to let go? Mm-hmm. If God decides to take it away from me for the next year, will I still be content with God? So today's passage is a call to examine our hearts today. Which bread are we seeking in life? The bread that perishes or the bread that endures to eternal life? Just like Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. Now my second advice is quite the opposite. It's for those who think they're not doing well in the Lord, but actually they're doing just fine. I know some of us today may be struggling with their faith right now. In fact, if we be honest to ourselves, we've all asked ourselves this question. Do I really believe in Jesus? Or is my faith enough? Right? Sometimes we just feel like our faith is just too small. Our life is just too big. But this passage does not only give us a warning against the complacency of our faith, but it also offers us a comfort in our faith. That we can trust in Jesus' faithfulness to the Father, even in the times of doubt. Because the effect of our faith, you see, is not based on the strength of faith, but the object of our faith. Let me say this again. The effect of our faith is not based on the strength of our faith, but the object of our faith. That we can be certain that we're secured in Christ, even when we have doubt about our faith. Because our faith works, not because how strong we are or how well behaved we are as a Christian, but because how faithful the Son is to the Father. So can someone tell me in this passage, who are the ones who will come to Jesus? It's in verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. We're given to Jesus by the Father himself. And what happened to those who come to Jesus? He will never cast them out. He will keep them by side till the last day. Because this is the will of the Father, you see, that Jesus would lose none of those that was given by the Father. None, not even one. You have to understand today that God didn't give us a ladder. He didn't give us a ladder that if we climb hard enough that we will get to heaven by ourselves. But he gives us this bread today, the bread of life. That the Son of God, God the Son, came all the way down from heaven. And Lord, that we can go up with him. Remember, the bread is his body. By joining in his death, we join in his resurrection and his new life. And that's how we come to him. To come to him is to believe in him. And if you read verse 25 to 40 again, you'll find that there's no work from us that contributes to our own salvation. Because salvation is the work of God. The work of the Father and the work of the Son, joined by the Holy Spirit. And this is why when the crowd was asking, what should they do to do the works of God? The works of God, puro. Jesus answered that the work of God, singular, is this. There's only one work. That is to believe in the one whom he sent. In other words, Jesus is saying that the only work that we need to do is actually not work, but to believe in the work of God that is done through the Son. You with me? Okay. So if we have to conclude today, is really only about two things. Do not be complacent in your faith, and do not panic. And you were like, whoa, how can I do that? Those are the only two options I know. What I mean is that we must turn to God with our open hands today and to say to him, apart from you, I have nothing. Give me this bread today so I can have life in Jesus. Because as a Christian, we can be dependent and confident at the same time. Because this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life and will raise with the Son on the last day. And if you're not a Christian today, this is what Jesus says. He says that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him will never be thirsty again. Will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in him will never be thirsty again. Do you see the parallel here? In other words, to come to Jesus is to believe in him. Jesus didn't ask us to make our own bread. You don't have to know how to make sourdough in order to be saved. By saying that I am the true bread, come and take it, and you will have eternal life. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the word that came down from heaven, that your Son taking up his body, taking up this cross, has done the impossible of bringing us back to you. So, Father God, that we are utterly dependent on you, and help us today to know that, and help us to turn from looking at ourselves to looking to your Son. Then may we all today, by taking this bread together, that we will have eternal life in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, we pray. Amen.